I pray that you anoint his lips. I pray you anoint your word, Lord, as your word go forth, that it will touch our hearts, minister, Lord, transform and change our hearts and our lives. So thank you right now, Father, for your anointing upon him, the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Help him to speak. Let him speak your word. Speak what is on your heart right now, Lord. So we commit him into your hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kids, it's time to go out, chaps.
Sorry.
You're all right. You've done so well. I can't believe that just happened at Community Church, Bob, and that was so beautiful, guys. It was just... it's what heaven is going to be like. It's what the Revelation is talking about when it says all tribes, all nations will glorify the God most high of the universe in different tongues. And it was just a privilege to watch those guys, so particularly Elizabeth, the bride at the back, just in worship and praise in a, I'm assuming it's your own language in Nigerian, just glorifying God, a spirit. It was wonderful. It was absolutely, well, I loved it. I don't know whether you loved it, but it was amazing. It was, I love this church so much. It was completely different, but just wonderful, 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 wonderful. God is good. All the time, God is good. He is good. He really, 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 really is good. And his goodness is in God's word. Yeah, God's word is good. And we've been going through the book of Luke. Who has enjoyed the book of Luke? I enjoyed the book of Luke. It's been the most fun preaching through and listening through the book of Luke. I've really enjoyed it. But we've got up to chapter 8. So you can pick up on your phones or if you've got your Bibles. And there is now beautiful red Bibles on the side of the pews. Thank you to Elizabeth. And we're at Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. So I will get... You know, I don't know what page it is yet in those Bibles, but I will find out. Yeah, but we're in Luke chapter 8. We've been working through Luke. 1037, well done Gareth, 1037. And it is, it's on the screen as well if you want it, it should be on the iPad. Maybe somebody knows how to use the iPad. Give it a flip. Oh, youth, we need a member of youth who knows how to use the iPad. Come on Isaac, sort the iPad out, sort poor old Pete out. From Luke chapter 8. Yeah, verses 22. It should come up. That's the one. It's up there. Okay, so Jesus calms the storm. So verse 21. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went up and woke him, that is Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." You can imagine. "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story of the scripture. And just fill me with your spirit as I keep me true to your word as I work through this story. Amen. So what's the context? Well, Jesus is still in Galilee. So Galilee, where's Galilee in the Israel? We've been listening for weeks and weeks. Galilee is a lake in the north of Israel. So it's a bit like Scotland. Yeah, in the north of Israel. And Jesus had been wandering around the Lake of Galilee declaring good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. And then last time last time in Luke, he was being followed by his disciples, and they included women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And the Bible, Luke says in chapter 7, that Jesus had cast out evil spirits and diseases from these women. So two things: the Gospel of Luke is revolutionary in the fact that it has so many women in it. Almost all the stories feature women. God loves women. Jesus loved women. Now these particular women we talked about may have been, they might have been a little bit poor, but potentially they may have been really, really wealthy. One of them, worked for the household of Herod, who is the king. And these women might have got it together from the outside, so they would be wealthy, got everything together. But actually, it sounds like on the inside, they were messed up. Yeah, very often, some people haven't got it together on the outside, yeah, and it's obvious. Some people look like they've got it together on the outside, but at the inside, they are messed up. Have you ever been like that? I've been like that, definitely. And Jesus had set these women free. He'd set them free. He'd set them free from maybe worry. Have you ever been messed up with worry? It's New Year, yeah? They've been messed up maybe with rejection, just being frightened of being rejected by people, yeah, being frightened what would happen, of fear. Who's fearful? Yeah, fear. Definitely, I get really fearful and worried about stuff all the time. Unforgiveness. Yeah, people get messed up by just not being able to forgive people for the bad things that have happened to them. Yeah, that messes you up. It makes you dark and nasty. Does it slowly messes you up? Jealousy, addictions. Who struggled to give up something? Alcohol, cigarettes. It's hard. You need the power and the love of Jesus in your life. Yeah, and Jesus, the only one who could set these women free, set these women free. And once they were free, they went and they followed Jesus and they served Jesus. You have been set free. If you're a follower of Christ, Jesus has set you free. He can set you free from the stuff that's messing up your life. Yeah, and you are free to worship Him and follow Him and live in the way that God wants you to live. You're not to do whatever you want. Yeah, you're free from, free to. And that's what these women had done. So imagine that, that's what was happening. Jesus is preaching the good news, and then there's crowds following him, and he's teaching, and he teaches them about the parable of the sower. You know the parable, do you? Good seed, rock, weeds, all that stuff, yeah. He teaches them, and then the parable of the lamp. So Varnus talks about the parable of the lamp, yeah, and the light, yeah, and Jesus is the light of the world. Why would you want to put anything over that? And the crowds continue to follow Jesus. There was a massive crowd around Jesus, listening to his teaching, watching him healing people, casting out demons, all this. And then the story before the storm, this is what happened, and it's really significant. Verse 19, so it says, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd." This is how massive the crowd was. Someone told him, "Your mother and brother are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So really, have you ever read that story and thought, what is that about? What is that about? It seems a little bit harsh on his mother and his brothers, really, doesn't it? Yeah, his mother had been through all that in the Christmas story. What was going on? Well, it's a really, really, really significant verse in the Bible, because what it's saying Jesus' family is not just linked to his blood relation family. So you don't need to be Jewish or related to Jesus to be part of the household of God, you related to Jesus through being a follower of His. Anybody who does the work and follows the word of God, His Father, is my mother and brother. That's good news. Without that story, there is no church. So you are not part of the household of God without that story. Jesus has just allowed Gentiles, which is us, the church, to be part of the household of God, not just the Jewish people. Is that a big thing? It's a big thing, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes, not the devil is in the detail, but God is in the detail of stuff. That is significant. And that is what happened. So the reason I'm telling you this story is to deliver the context. Now, if you were the disciples and you've just been told by Jesus that his mother and brother aren't really the household of God, anybody who follows me is the household of God. If I was a disciple at this point, I'd be thinking, I'm in. Brilliant. Yeah? Aren't I doing so fantastically well? I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm doing what he tells me to do. Life is good. I am brilliant. Is that what would you... That's what I think I would feel, definitely. Yeah? The context of the disciples is that the disciples at this moment must have felt, the 12, on top of the world. Yeah? They would have been at top of the world. Everything following Jesus is going right, is going fantastic. Yeah? I've left my family, I've left my professions, I'm not a fisherman anymore, I'm following Jesus, wherever Jesus goes, I follow him, people are getting saved, I'm in the middle of a fantastic crowd, everything is going right, success, 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 brilliant. That's where the disciples must have been, yeah? Even his family aren't as close as me. This is brilliant. This is fantastic. This is where the disciples, well, it's where I would have been. The disciples might have been older than me. This is where I certainly would have been. Things are brilliant. Let's see what happens next to the disciples. Yeah? So he says, verse 22, if you go to the next bit. So this is the next story. So this is where the disciples on top of the world, and this is where it goes next. So it says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake, which is Lake Galilee. So they got into a boat and set out. Jesus tells his disciples to go somewhere. And they do. Very, very simple. Fantastic, top of the world. Can you imagine the disciples? Yep, we'll follow you, we're going to go across this lake. It's a lake, I'm a fisherman mostly, this is going to be easy. Jesus is asking me to do something really easy. It's all worked out before, even when we were stuck for food, all sorts of other things going on. We'll follow Jesus and we'll go across the lake. And they must have been thinking, this is going to be fantastic. We're going to cross this lake. We'll get over to the other side. What are we going to do next? Are we going to cast out demons, Jesus? Are we going to heal people? Are we going to overthrow Romans, Jesus? What is going to happen? You can palpably imagine how excited they would have been, yeah, crossing this lake. They must have thought, we're with you. We're invincible. We're your people. We're following you. And fair play to them, they got in the boat. Big task for a fisherman to get into the boat and go across the river. Yeah, go across the lake. And they followed Jesus. They were doing what they'd been told to do. It's really interesting, isn't it? These guys, so far, seemingly had done everything right. Had done pretty much everything they'd been told. And it all gone well. Jesus had warned them in his teaching, but it had gone well. It's easy and good following Jesus when things are going right, isn't it? Yeah? It's good following Jesus when things are going to plan, when we're being faithful, when things are happy, when amazing stuff, when you can just see that Jesus is working in all the situations and it all works out and it's all fantastic, it's easy following Jesus, or it seems easier following Jesus when it seemingly is working out right. Would you agree? Yeah? So this is what was happening to the disciples. And they would have had an expectation that everything would have been awesome. They're on the mountaintop. Yeah? So far, I said nothing in their ministry, nothing negative had happened. Let's see what happened. Well, next verse. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Now, what is that all about? So the disciples sail out on the lake because Jesus has told them to sail out on the lake. A place and doing a thing that they're expert in their own strength. These guys must have lived on the water. Yeah, they must have spent most of their life on the water. Sailing is what they do. They must have had storms before on Lake Galilee because they would have been fishermen. They must have known how to handle it. They must have dealt with it. They must have survived. And Jesus as goes to sleep. He's gone to sleep, yeah? It's the only place in the Bible it actually says Jesus went to sleep. Normally he's praying and other people go to sleep. But Jesus, actually, it's the only place it says Jesus went to sleep. He's not quiet, he's quiet. He's not telling them anything. He's not directing them. He's not doing anything. He's just asleep. However, he is with them. In life, do you ever feel like that Jesus is asleep and you're in the middle of a storm? Have you ever had that experience? He's not doing anything. I'm praying. I'm talking to him. He's asleep. Has that ever happened? Jesus was present with them and he didn't leave them. It says a squall came over the lake and the boat is being swamped. This point, the disciples have been faithful. They have done what Jesus has told them to do. They've got in the boat, they've gone across. They're doing everything right. They're being faithful. They're using the gifts and the skills that God has given them. They're in a place that seemingly seems very, very comfortable for them, where they're used to it. Yeah, nothing could happen. But there is problems. It's not going right. They're doing what they're being told, but it's not going right. There's a storm. It's not a normal storm. And water is getting so bad that the water is getting into the boat and it's threatening to sink the boat. Imagine these guys, a large contingent of them, fishermen, yeah, okay, and it's so bad, right, and these guys are experts, they're the experts of the experts of the experts, they should be able to sort out this situation of a stormy sea in Galilee. This is day-to-day stuff, and they can't. Useless. What is going on? Why are they having these problems? Their lives are under threat. So what these fishermen do is they decide in a storm on a boat on the river to ask a carpenter for help. That must have been embarrassing in itself, yeah? They ask for help. So their lives are under threat, and this is what they do. They decide, but in fact they don't ask Jesus for help. This is what they say, right? Get this. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." They don't ask for help. They say, "We're going to drown. We're all doomed. We're all going to die." I would have put the money on that the disciples would have done everything they could possibly do in their own power to sort out this situation in their own strength before these guys humbly went to tell a carpenter that they were going to drown. Have you ever been in a situation that you've tried to sort? You've been doing everything right, you're in a situation, and you try and sort it out through your own strength. Honestly, this is my life at the moment, where in situation after situation, I have no idea how I'm going to sort it out. But I will sort it out. Jesus sorts it out. He does sort it out. He does. So they ask a carpenter. Well, they don't ask a carpenter. They don't ask for help. They tell them that we're all doomed and we're going to sink. A very, very negative statement. Yeah? So they're doing right. They've been challenged. It's all gone wrong. And we're all doomed. They say, Master, we're going to drown. They basically walk Jesus up to tell him they're all going to die. Basically, that's what they walk him up to do. This story is also in Mark 4. It gets worse for the disciples. Because in Mark 4, this is what he says they said to him, right? They said, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So we're going to drown. And Jesus, you don't care that we're going to drown. Why did Jesus choose these Muppets? I have no idea. They probably did better than me, in fairness, yeah? But the disciples had gone into the lake. A storm had risen up, and the disciples' responses were all doomed. You've led us into a situation, Jesus, where we're all going to drown. You don't even care that we're going to drown. You've led us into a hopeless, pointless, death situation, and you don't care. It's what the disciples have done. They might as well. So they'd seen everything that Jesus said. They might as well spat in Jesus' face, in fairness. Yeah, that's what they said to him. You don't care. Have you ever been in a situation where it's so bad, whatever you're going through, and you just feel that Jesus doesn't care? You've asked him, and he's asleep. Or he seems like he's asleep. And you feel like he just don't care. This is the original trick of Satan in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah? God doesn't care about you. He doesn't have your best interest in heart. Does Jesus care? He
does.
Yeah? What happened next? So he got up. So Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and it was calm. It was calm. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the water and all was calm. Just like that. All the time, Jesus had been in complete control of the situation. Yeah, he'd had it. All the time, Jesus had it. And after everything the disciples had seen previously in Luke, do you think they should have been surprised? This dude had raised the dead. Jesus had raised the dead. Should they have been surprised? When we're going through difficult times, we often forget what Jesus has done before, don't we? Just like the disciples, we often forget what miracles Jesus has worked in our life. What did Jesus say next? Next slide. So, where is your faith? What he said. He said, where is your faith? He asked the disciples. Simple question. Where is your faith? I want to ask you this morning, in the trials of your life, in the difficulties of your life, in whatever is going on in your life, where is your faith? Yeah? Do you trust Jesus? So faith is like a muscle. Yeah? It doesn't just miraculously happen overnight, sometimes faith. Sometimes God can work in you, but actually you need to build faith like a muscle. You trust Him in the small things, and God will honour very often in the big things. Yeah? Where is your faith in the little things? And it takes practice. Yeah, trust Him. Try trusting Him in the little things and see what He does. Yeah, He is with you. And then build up. Your faith will grow. Your faith. Does that ring true, anybody else apart from me? Yeah, has God worked in all the situations of your life that you were like a storm and you didn't know what was happening? It takes practice. Yeah, trust God. Previously, we talked about the story of the man who built his house upon the rock. He hears the word of God and he puts it into practice. Faith without works is dead. Yeah, unless you actually put your faith into practice and trust Jesus, you have no faith. Put it into practice. The wise man built his house upon the rock, which was doing the word of God. Not just hearing it and listening to it, it was doing it. When the storms of life come, and they will come, it will stand on solid ground. Yeah? It's interesting. It doesn't say just listening to the word of God. It just says doing the word of God. Build your faith muscle. Trust Him in the little things. See how He acts in the little things. And He will work. He will work. What did the disciples do wrong in this situation? They didn't do all wrong. Well, they didn't have peace in the storm. They panicked. And they didn't trust God's plans would work out. They didn't have peace. They could have had peace. They could have thought, I'm in a storm. Yes, it is bad. But Jesus is with me. They thought Jesus was going to die with them. They just thought, because bad things are happening and I'm following Him, obviously God isn't in control and Jesus isn't in control. They thought the bad situations meant that God's power didn't exist. Yeah? They didn't believe that Jesus cared about their situation. I don't know what you are going through, whatever, but Jesus intimately cares about your situation. He so does. Because He did care. They didn't factor in that Jesus was actually with them, even though He was asleep. So Marlon can testify this, isn't it? All the time it might have seemed over a period that Jesus was sleeping or no, Jesus was, but you weren't engaging with Jesus. But He was there, wasn't He, Marlene? Yeah, for 40 years. He's with you. He's with you through the storms. They hadn't expected the storms. Yeah, the disciples didn't expect anything bad to happen. Yeah. When you become a Christian, your life is going to be fantastic. Nothing bad is ever going to happen. You're never going to be challenged about anything. Everything is going to go incredibly smoothly and we're all going to dance around and be happy. Is that true? Absolutely not. Yeah. Most of the letters that the apostles sent to the churches were saying, guys, you know all these bad things are happening. Almost every single letter they were sent to the early church, bad things are going to happen. They are. It's going to be really, 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 really hard being a Christian. There are going to be trials. There are going to be all sorts of difficult things that happen. But do you know what the apostles keep saying? They said, keep going. Be patient. Endure. The amount of times Paul said we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to dance around and do miracles, although that's what the Holy Spirit does, but it's to endure in the Christian life, the storms of life, with patience, forgiveness, endurance. Yeah? And they didn't get that. They thought it was going to be fantastic. They thought there was going to be no problems. Nothing bad was going to happen. A really lovely old preacher says, a guy called David Paulson, who I really like, he said, when I became a Christian, my troubles started. And he said, then I got filled with the Holy Spirit to full, and they got much worse. Yeah? And troubles are part of the Christian life. They really, really are. There are the mountaintops. There are the mountaintops. There are the crowds. Just like we had a mountaintop, I think, this morning. Yeah, there are times like that, yeah, where just things go right. We're so blessed. But there are times where we go through storms. And a lot of them, as Christians, are followers of Jesus. Just like these disciples. Say it again. So the Christian life, I've stolen it, it's not mine, but it's good. You're not born to a cruise ship. Just like the disciples weren't born to sit and put the sleeping mattresses out and like just chill out and follow Jesus. You're born to a battleship. And Satan is going to drop bombs on your life. He is. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be difficulties. Yeah, and that's going to be exactly like the disciples when you're following Jesus. Bad things are going to happen when you follow Jesus. It is. And you won't be able to get out of them with whatever skills or abilities that you think you have in the flesh. About the only right thing that the disciples did in the boat was turn to Jesus. That's what they did. They turned to Jesus. Next bit. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." Do you know what? Jesus is sovereign. He's sovereign. He's above the storms. He's above. You're going to go through storms, yeah? But Jesus, God has got it. He's got it. He's all-powerful. This God flung the stars into space. He's more powerful than Father Christmas. All right, he is that powerful. You can't get your head round how powerful he is. But you know what? This God is good, and he does love you. And the more through life you trust him, the more. Do you know? The more I go through life, the more I fear God in a good way. Yeah, God, we fear God. Because he is mighty. We've sung it this morning. We fear him, yeah? But he's a fear of his might and his power. But he is good, it's God. He is good. And I'm amazed by his grace and his mercy and how so many situations in life are storms and difficult and horrible. But by his grace and mercy he is here. And by his power and for his glory, he calms all storms. Through this story, the disciples had a greater understanding of who Jesus was and his sovereignty. Is that a good story? It's a good story, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, as we go into 2020, if you continue your walk with Jesus, yeah, because it's a walk with Jesus, there's going to be magnificent highs. There is going to be such times of blessing and glory and fantastic times and wonderful times. Yeah, would you? There's going to be mountaintop experience. Have you ever had mountaintop experiences, would you? It's brilliant. There's going to be fantastic times where you dance like Colin. Yeah? There's going to be times like that where God, just the goodness of God is so good. Wondrous. We're going to see miracles. There's going to be prophecies. People get saved. It's fantastic. It's great to watch it. A joyous, amazing things. But being part of a follower of Jesus is you're going to go into storms. This year, there's going to be storms. And part of the Christian life is being in the storms. The Christian life is difficult. Dealing with the messed up bits of your life, the sinful bit of your life, is hard and difficult. In fact, you can't do it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. So to deal with behaviour and stuff that does not glorify God, it's really hard. Apologising to people is hard when you don't want to. Yeah? Dealing with just people situations is hard. Defeating sin is hard, stressful. Walking with Jesus is hard and stressful. Doing the right thing is hard, difficult, and seemingly has immediate negative consequences. Have you ever done the right thing and it go horribly wrong? Yeah? It's like that all the way through the Bible. Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife. He ended up in prison for like 30 years. Yeah, he did the right thing and it went horribly or seemingly horribly wrong. Situation you don't know what you're going to do to get out of it. Seems like Jesus is sleeping. Yeah, but I want to encourage you. Whatever is happening, whatever you're going through, Jesus is with you. He is with you in the boat. He is with you in the boat. He does care about you. Yeah, he does care. He does care about you. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. He does have the power to make the storms stop. But sometimes, some storms might not stop in this lifetime. Illness, and poorliness, and situations you don't know. Your storms may be all sorts, you know. But you know what? I've been reading Revelation, yeah, over the walk through the Bible. You know, there's a storm we see in this story, but there's a glassy sea at the end of the story where God's throne is and the sea is calm. Yeah? And there is going to be a place when Jesus comes back and sorts everything out. There's going to be a place where there is no more storms. There's just a glassy sea. There is no more suffering. There is no more tears. There is no more pain. That's the hope that we have. Is that a good hope? It is a good hope. In the Bible, all these guys in the boat, although it did work out in the storm, the apostles Peter, John, James, all these guys in the boat met horrible deaths. Really did. Yeah, horrible. Peter was crucified upside down. Yeah, it was horrible, horrible, horrible things happened to them in this lives. All of them grisly deaths. Yeah, but you know in the letters that they write, like Peter. So Peter writes in a letter, he says, keep enduring in your faith, keep trusting, keep going. Jesus got it. He is with you in the boat. He is sovereign over all things. And that is your God. Keep that in mind for this year. Yeah? In this year. So we pray. So Father God, Father, we just thank you for that story. We thank you that we are your people. Not through lineage, but by following you, Lord Jesus. We are your family, Lord. And we thank you that you are the God that is with us through the storms. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit. Help us have patience, love, endurance to get us through life storms, Lord. Give us the faith to know that you are in the boat, that you are sovereign, that you have us, and you love us so much, Lord. And you will not allow anything to destroy us, Lord. Keep us close to you, Lord Jesus. Help us just to rely on you. We just give you praise. We give you glory for this story and the God that you are. Amen.